Blog Talk Radio.
Rabel fires from deep and scores! Rabel for two!
It is Mundorf circling out in front. Vice on it. Shot and scores!
It's Pro Lacrosse Faceoff, brought to you by LaxDirt.com with Tim Thomas and Tom Bovey. Breaking down all the best teams and players from Major League Lacrosse, the National Lacrosse League, the North American Lacrosse League, and International Lacs. It's Pro Lacrosse Faceoff with Tim Thomas.
A lot of storylines to talk about.
And Tom Bovey.
I mean, how good are they if that's going to be the case?
It's Pro Lacrosse Faceoff.
It's a great experience for the fans.
On TNT Radio.
Welcome into the Pro Lacrosse Faceoff. Happy Tuesday night to you. Little bit of a change of plans due to a last-minute scheduling conflict. Mr. Tom Bovey will not be with us tonight, so you're stuck with me, Tim Thomas from LaxDirt.com, to wrap up the Major League Lacrosse season. The 2015 season, I got to say, was one of my favorites of all time. And I've been a fan of this league since its inception. I've been following this league since it started. And this was just a fantastic year from start to finish. There was storylines galore. You had the New York Lizards, who obviously just won the championship, but heading into the season, they made some big moves. They stacked up in the off season. There was a ton of pressure on that team. Do not think that this was a cakewalk for the New York Lizards. And we're going to get a chance to talk to Coach Joe Spallina and a couple of the players, Joe Fletcher and Rob Pennell, scheduled to join us here tonight to talk about that journey, because in no way was this a cakewalk for the New York Lizards. People keep saying they were the favorites. This was their championship to lose. In this league, there's no easy wins, and there's so much parity in Major League Lacrosse that it, regardless of how the team is put together and how many superstars they have, there's nothing guaranteed. And I think it was Greg Gerenlian in the post game after they won the championship essentially said the same thing. He said, "You mean you look around this league and you look at all these teams, every one of these teams is stacked. You know, just because one team has players that have a couple more endorsements than another team really doesn't amount to anything. You still got to go out there and you play the game, and you still got to go out there and compete against a team that legitimately has a roster full of the best lacrosse players in the world." And that's the greatest thing about this league, is the competition and the parity and how hard these guys get after it week in and week out. And you look at the other storylines around the league. I mean, Rochester is a team that has really built themselves back up. They were a team that lost a bunch of pieces that people were thinking was maybe en route to folding. And since Timmy Sudan has come and took the helm, and they've made some very key selections in the draft, Jordan Wolf to name one, this team has turned it around. This team has been, you know, a couple goals away in back-to-back years from winning a championship. You look at a team like the Boston Cannons. They trade away Paul Rabel and Mike Stone, guys that were big parts of them winning the championship a couple of years ago. They lose Kyle Sweeney, a guy who's been a core member of that defense. Steven Berger retires. I mean, the Boston Cannons were decimated in the offseason by retirements, by trades. They lose Ryan Boyle. This team was not expected to do what they did, and they turn around and, you know, through gut and determination and playing as a unit, they make a playoff run. And you same with a team like Ohio. That Ohio team is so close, and they are so fun to watch week in and week out. That's must-see TV. And what that franchise has done and the way that Bear Davis has put that team together and the camaraderie that is built in that locker room has been fantastic to see, and this season was no different. And you look at it, and now we're going to add another team in the offseason. They're talking, they announced that the Atlanta Blaze is coming into Major League Lacrosse, potentially a second expansion team if the cards line up, so we could be looking at 10 teams next year. All kinds of movement around the league. You know, you look at that and you look at the potential, and we saw it a couple of years ago when Ohio and Charlotte came into the league. The amount of guys that got juggled around, the amount of roster movement in this league, it doesn't happen this way unless there's expansion. And in expansion, it's literally, you know, anybody's guess. Some guys get relocated because of location, because of work, because of, you know, previous commitments outside of the league. Some guys just can't be protected. General managers and owners and coaches can only protect so many guys in an expansion draft in order to allow the new teams coming in to have a comparable team and maintain that parity in the league. So another thing that makes this 2015 season, this season that just passed, that much more exciting and that much more entertaining and that much more fantastic. Yeah, I mean, these guys knew, and you heard it when the Wizards won and they were talking about it. You know, you don't know how many of these guys are going to be able to stay together with an expansion draft coming up. These teams, just about every team you saw this year, is going to drastically change in this offseason. And teams that have been put together for a few years, you know, teams like Rochester, teams like Ohio, built themselves up and you know, trudged and fought to get back to where they are today, are going to have to make some hard decisions. You know, teams like the New York Lizards that loaded up, so to speak, and that's what everybody keeps terming it as. They're going to have to make some hard decisions in the offseason because you can't protect everybody. Teams like the Chesapeake Bayhawks, who have struggled, you know, obviously had a down year this year, but they have a stacked roster. They have a lot of veterans on that roster and a very deep roster. You know, they're going to have to make some serious decisions when it comes to who they protect and who they don't protect. So it not only was it a fantastic season, but it's going to be a super entertaining off season, capitalized by great playoffs. I mean, you watch the playoffs the past 2 weeks, and you can't ask for it. You know, everybody talks about matchups, talks about wanting to see certain teams versus other teams. In the end, the game's got to be played, and you end up with the two best teams against each other. And I think you saw that with Rochester and New York. Yeah, Ohio's a fantastic team on offense. Their defense was much improved this year. But when the chips were down, you know, Rochester outplayed them. And the same with New York and Boston. People were saying, you know, Boston pushed them to the limit and pushed them into overtime. And, yeah, all that's well and true, but in the end, it doesn't matter if you win by one goal or five goals. If you get into the dance, that's what matters. And we saw that from New York, and we saw that from Rochester. They had what it takes to get to the end, and then you couldn't ask for a better championship game. You saw these two slug it out and battle it out in a back-and-forth game that, you know, really came down to the final frame, to that fourth quarter. Rochester got out to a great lead. They looked like they had it figured out in New York, kind of the same way they were against Boston, had really a slow start in that first quarter. And then, as New York does, as teams that are that talented do, they rallied back. And that's why they say, you know, lacrosse is a game of runs. And any coach around the league that you talk to, and a lot of the players around the league that you talk to, when you talk about the keys when you're facing New York, and you talk about how you match up against the team as talented and as dangerous as this New York Wizards squad has been this year, it's all about weathering the storm. It's all about outlasting that barrage. And you saw Rochester be able to do that for three quarters. They hung with them. They outlasted the heavy runs. Like, New York came on really hard into the second quarter, and Rochester was able to weather the storm and keep pace. And then ultimately, they just couldn't last. You got to the end, and Rabel and Pinnell and Palasek, and they ended up having too many horses in the stable for the Rochester Rattlers to keep up with. Fantastic game, one of my favorite championship games that I've seen in a while, and just an entertaining game to cap off an entertaining season. So I'm super excited to get to talk to some of the guys that were there on the field experiencing that. We're going to talk to Joe Spallina, a guy who, you know, this is a big deal. This is something that he's been after and something that he felt like he was just so close in years past. Now he can finally say, we've done this. This is history. We have made we have accomplished the goal that we set out to. So we're going to get his take on the whole season, on this locker room, on the leaders on this team, and on what to expect from the Wizards going forward. We're going to talk to the Defensive Player of the Year, Joe Fletcher, a guy that has taken MLL by storm. They said coming out of the draft, and they being lacrosse media, that he was the most MLL-ready defenseman we had seen in over 5 years, and certainly that has proved to be true. Very great, a huge year from him, big part of what the Wizards were able to do. And then we're going to talk to Rob Pinnell. Obviously, this is a huge culminating point for him in his lacrosse career, so it's going to be great to get his take on it as well. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back on the other side. It's the Pro Lacrosse Faceoff, brought to you by LaxDirt.com, live here on MLL Radio. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Steele Stanwyck of the Ohio Machine, and you're listening to MLL Radio.
Are you tired of the same generic recycled pro lacrosse coverage? Check out LaxDirt.com. All the latest headlines, news, and analysis with no punches pulled. The latest coverage of Major League Lacrosse, the National Lacrosse League, and International Lax, one of the most active social media presences on Facebook, Twitter, and LaxDirt keeps you up to date on everything happening in pro lacrosse. LaxDirt.com, your source for all the dirt on Pro Lax.
I'm Evan Washburn, host of Inside the MLL, your home for everything Major League Lacrosse. Each week for 30 minutes, we're taking you through the league, recapping what's happened while also looking forward. Along with in-depth features, this season, more than any other year, we're bringing you the voices and faces of the game to break down the biggest storylines and also the weekend's biggest games. Inside the MLL airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. on CBS Sports Network.
Hey, everybody. It's Tim Thomas from LaxDirt.com, and I want to talk to you real quick about Atlantic Sportswear. They're your team apparel specialist. They feature Under Armour and Nike products, as well as Warrior products, Brine products, Under Armour lacrosse products specific for the lacrosse community. They do it all at Atlantic Sportswear. They can do your jerseys, they can do your shooters, they can do outerwear, jackets, all the way down to your shorts and socks. Whatever you need, Atlantic Sportswear can get it done. Lax Dirt was outfitted by Atlantic Sportswear, and you and your team should be too. Make sure you check out their website at AtlanticSportswear.com and tell them Lax Dirt sent you. Welcome back to the Pro Lacrosse Face-Off. Tim Thomas from Lackster.com talking about the 2015 Major League Lacrosse season that has just wound down, culminating with the New York Lizards ultimately winning the championship, hoisting the Steinfeld Cup, and the chance for a lot of guys that have never had this opportunity. You know, a lot of talk about Paul Rabil and what he's brought to the table and the performance that he's had. And you've got some guys that have won before, guys like Kyle Hartzell, Paul Rabil, who have had those championships. But there are a lot of first-time guys on this roster as well. You know, guys like Drew Adams, Greg Gerenlian, Rob Pinnell, JoJo Marasco, you know, Ned Crotty, guys winning Major League Lacrosse championships for the first time. And you know, a guy like Gerenlian and a guy like Adams who have been in this league and paid the dues, so to speak, and been so close. And again, you know, I go back to that interview after the championship where Gerenlian said, you know, it gets to the point where you start to doubt yourself. You start to think, you know, is it me? Am I the reason that we're not getting over that hump? And you know, I keep talking about the Beast, and it's that emotional interview that he did really kind of, you know, brought it home for me and really kind of touched me, I guess. And you know, he's a phenomenal guy, a great guy on and off the field, great ambassador for the sport. And seeing what that meant to him, seeing, you know, the emotion that he was feeling and how much finally, you know, being able to reach out and grab that brass ring meant to a guy like that was huge. And it was awesome. And it was great to watch as a fan of lacrosse. It was great to watch as a fan of Major League Lacrosse and somebody who has watched this league evolve and grow and watched a player like Greg Gerenlian, you know, over the years just go out there and you know, be the best at what he does, but come just a little short of the ultimate goal. So watching him get there, watching a guy like Rob Pinnell, who we're going to talk to a little bit later in the show, who has been so close at every level, you know, from high school to college to the World Games to every level, coming up kind of as the bridesmaid in terms of championships to finally reach out and get that ring, like I said, is huge. And it's great to watch. And you saw Rob on Twitter after the game tweeting out, you know, celebrating, saying we're world champions finally. And he got a little flack from some of the Team Canada guys saying, whoa, world championships are the FIL and what have you. But the you could see from every one of these New York guys how much they worked for it. And I was upset. You know, this is the first time in 5 years that I haven't been there when they crowned a champion, and I didn't get to see that experience play out on the field. It's always fun to watch, and you know, it's always fun to be there to experience it. And if any of you people listening have the opportunity to be at one of these championship games, I strongly recommend it. It's the best lacrosse you're going to see played, and the affair afterwards, and seeing how much these guys, how much it means to these guys, how hard they've worked. They've sacrificed their whole summer, essentially, for this one moment. And, you know, they're not doing it for the paycheck. In most cases, the paycheck is hardly worth sacrificing every weekend all summer long. They're doing it for the love of the game, and they're doing it for the opportunity to hoist that cup up. It's a story, especially this season, because, you know, you talk about the New York Lizards, and like I said, this is a team that, and Evan Washburn talked about it on the broadcast, this is a team that was under the microscope all year long, and all the talk was about how are they going to balance it, how are they going to juggle it, there's only one ball, who's going to have the shot when the clock's winding down, who wants the ball in their stick, and how are you going to balance the egos, and this, that, and a third. And the bottom line is, when it came down to it, they did it. You know, no one can take that from them now. They checked the egos at the door. They went out there and they played as a team, and they did it better than anybody else in the league, more consistently to the end of the dance. And that's what it's all about. You look at the different teams around the league, and you know, I talked about some teams that took steps forward. A team like Rochester, a team like Ohio, has been consistently taking steps forward. A team like Boston surprised everybody and jumped out there and really, you know, made a splash this season and was probably the Cinderella story. The Outlaws and the BayHawks, you know, looked a little long in the tooth at times and took a step back. So, I mean, you're seeing kind of the way the landscape of Major League Lacrosse kind of changed this season, and different teams looked at it different ways. You know, a lot of these teams knew that expansion was on the horizon and that these rosters were going to be changing and getting juggled around. So they approached it differently. New York said, okay, let's go all in. Let's do what we need to do to win now. And they did that. And they went out and they made the moves they needed to move. I mean, they needed to make. And we've seen them kind of building to this the last few years, whether it be acquiring Ned Crotty, whether it be making the move for Paul Rabil, you know, trading Brian Karalunas in the offseason to juggle some pieces around. This is a team that consciously made the decision to make the move and go all in this year. Boston was a different approach. They cut bait and essentially decided to make a trade and try to get what they could for a couple players before, more likely than not, those players weren't going to be on their roster anyway come expansion time. So you saw different teams trying to make different things happen. You know, Rochester doing the same thing with the Thompson's trade, trying to move things in a certain direction and get what they could for it before it was too late, really. So a lot of negotiating, a lot of roster juggling, and it's only the beginning. And, you know, for some new fans that haven't seen the expansion process, you're in for a treat, because these teams are going to be all juggled up. These teams are going to be mixed and matched, and you're going to see guys in different places that you haven't seen them play in before. So very exciting, and I'm actually looking forward to the off season. I'm usually bummed out at this point in the season, and it usually goes by too fast, and it did this year as well. The season went by incredibly fast. I called all the home games except one for the Boston Cannons this year down at Gillette Stadium, and I couldn't believe when it was over. I couldn't believe how fast the season went. But you got the off season this year, and the off season is something that, you know, for real MLL fans, is incredibly exciting. And Atlanta's a prospect that we've talked about for a few years now here on this radio show, here on Major League Lacrosse. Radio, as well as all throughout lacrosse media. This is something that the league has targeted, has been building towards, has put building blocks in place for, and has finally been able to pull the trigger on. And it's going to make for an exciting fall and winter in terms of Major League Lacrosse, which, again, is great for the league. It is something that... The more you're talking about the league and the more the league is in the headlines in the off season, the better for the sport, the better for further growth of Major League Lacrosse. So I'm incredibly excited for it. Unfortunately, it looks like we've missed Coach Joe Spallina tonight. Somehow we got our wires crossed, but we're going to take another commercial break. And when I come back, hopefully we'll get a chance to connect with Joe Fletcher, talk about his experience as you know, a sophomore player with this team and what it meant for him in order to, you know, win this championship so early in his career. So I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back on the other side. This is the Pro Lacrosse Face-Off, brought to you by Laxert.com on MLL Radio. I'm Tim Thomas. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Steele Stanwyck of the Ohio Machine, and you're listening to MLL Radio.
Are you tired of the same generic recycled pro lacrosse coverage? Check out LaxDirt.com. All the latest headlines, news, and analysis with no punches pulled. The latest coverage of Major League Lacrosse, the National Lacrosse League, and International Lax, one of the most active social media presences on Facebook, Twitter, and LaxDirt keeps you up to date on everything happening in pro lacrosse. LaxDirt.com, your source for all the dirt on pro lax.
I'm Evan Washburn, host of Inside the MLL, your home for everything Major League Lacrosse. Each week for 30 minutes, we're taking you through the league, recapping what's happened while also looking forward. Along with in-depth features, this season, more than any other year, we're bringing you the voices and faces of the game to break down the biggest storylines and also the weekend's biggest games. Inside the MLL airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. on CBS Sports Network.
Hey, everybody. It's Tim Thomas from Laxert.com, and I want to talk to you real quick about Atlantic Sportswear. They're your team apparel specialist. They feature Under Armour and Nike products, as well as Warrior products, Brine products, Under Armour lacrosse products specific for the lacrosse community. They do it all at Atlantic Sportswear. They can do your jerseys, they can do your shooters, they can do outerwear, jackets, all the way down to your shorts and socks. Whatever you need, Atlantic Sportswear can get it done. Lax Dirt was outfitted by Atlantic Sportswear, and you and your team should be too. Make sure you check out their website at AtlanticSportswear.com and tell them Lax Dirt sent you.
I'm Steele Stanwyck of the Ohio Machine, and you're listening to MLL Radio.
Are you tired of the same generic recycled pro lacrosse coverage? Check out LaxDirt.com. All the latest headlines, news, and analysis with no punches pulled. The latest coverage of Major League Lacrosse, the National Lacrosse League, and International Lax, one of the most active social media presences on Facebook, Twitter, and LaxDirt keeps you up to date on everything happening in pro lacrosse. LaxDirt.com, your source for all the dirt on pro lax.
I'm Evan Washburn, host of Inside the MLL, your home for everything Major League Lacrosse. Each week for 30 minutes, we're taking you through the league, recapping what's happened while also looking forward. Along with in-depth features, this season, more than any other year, we're bringing you the voices and faces of the game to break down the biggest storylines and also the weekend's biggest games. Inside the MLL airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. on CBS Sports Network.
Hey, everybody, it's Tim Thomas from Laxert.com, and I want to talk to you real quick about Atlantic Sportswear. They're your team apparel specialist. They feature Under Armour and Nike products, as well as Warrior products, Brine products, Under Armour lacrosse products specific for the lacrosse community. They do it all at Atlantic Sportswear. They can do your jerseys, they can do your shooters, they can do outerwear, jackets, all the way down to your shorts and socks. Whatever you need, Atlantic Sportswear can get it done. Lax Dirt was outfitted by Atlantic Sportswear, and you and your team should be too. Make sure you check out their website at AtlanticSportswear.com and tell them Lax Dirt sent you. Welcome back to the Pro Lacrosse Face-Off. Tim Thomas from LaxDirt.com. Now, as we wait for our next guest to call in, I wanted to touch on something else because the end of the year show, and we haven't really talked about the end of the year awards much. And, you know, for the most part, I think they went kind of off without a hitch. They went where a lot of people expected them to go. Defensive Player of the Year went to Joe Fletcher, something that I thought was justified, something that I think pretty much everybody expected. You know, Scott Ratliff probably gave him a little bit of a run for his money, but I think a lot of people thought it was going to be Fletch who ultimately won it. Greg Gerenlian getting the MVP, fantastic in my opinion. And everybody who's listened to me here on MLL Radio or read my stuff on LaxDirt.com knows that I pull for the Face-Off guys. I'm a former Face-Off guy. My uncle who got me into lacrosse was a Face-Off guy, and I always pull for the Face-Off. I always think that they get undersold for what they bring to the table. So watching this season and how dominant Gerenlian was and him getting those kind of accolades, I think was huge. Offensive Player of the Year, Jordan Wolfe. Now, don't get me wrong, but I'll preface this by saying I think Jordan Wolfe's a fantastic player. I think he's one of the most dynamic players in the league. He's entertaining to watch. I'm a Duke fan as well. I mean, I am all about Jordan Wolfe. But I don't know. And maybe it's just Rob Pinnell getting passed up because they didn't want to give all the awards to Lizards. And they wanted to give somebody else a shake. But I don't know how you can pass up a guy that had 30 goals and 30 assists and something that's so rare, and joining, you know, the likes of the Powells and putting yourself in that rarefied air like Rob Pinnell did, especially with the pressure that was on that team and the cast of characters and the demand for the ball from other players. The fact that he was that versatile, he was that balanced of a player and that dominant. You know, 30 and 30 is not an easy thing to do, and he ends the season with 38 goals and 30 assists to lead the league. And you know, I just he had more goals than Wolf. He had, you know, more assists than Wolf. He had more points than Wolf. I don't know how he's not the Offensive Player of the Year, other than the fact that, you know, too many Lizards got awards, and maybe you're just trying to spread the wealth and be diplomatic if you're the MLL. But for my money, I think you gotta like Pinnell for that award. The other award, Most Improved, goes to Davey Mala of the Boston Cannons. I don't think that's in question. We had a little bit of a debate earlier in the season, myself and Tom Bowie, going back and forth about it a little bit. But I think Davey Mala was huge and was fantastic this season. He was a guy that, you know, couldn't get on the field in Charlotte a year ago. And to play the factor that he played for with this Boston team, and, you know, to put up over 30 goals and you know, 38 points, and people said, well, he's just a finisher and he's just a finisher. That's great. You know, you still need finishers. You know, Tommy Palisak's a finisher, and he just had a huge game for the New York Wizards and helped them win a championship. You know, Matt Poske was just a finisher, and he's a guy that was a big factor in Boston winning the championship a couple years ago. You know, John Grant Jr. is a finisher, and every championship team has that guy and has that type of player. So I discredit that argument immediately, that you know, he's just a finisher, so you can't give him that kind of award. All around, you look at the awards this season, the only one I would really have any type of quarrel with would be the Offensive Player of the Year. And again, that's just because I think you look at Pinnell and you look at what he did and putting himself in that rarefied air by having both over 30 goals and 30 assists in a single season, I just think that's too much of a benchmark to overlook. And that's too much of a benchmark to look past and to be the leading scorer in the league and the leading scorer on an incredibly deep team with a bunch of guys that, you know, want the ball. And, you know, this is a team that has Paul Rabil on it and a team that you know, you're constantly going to be fighting for opportunities, and Pinnell made the most of those. And I think that he got, you know, stiffed a little bit when it comes to the postseason award. But in the end, it's about a championship, and I'm sure that's what he would say. He was in it for the championship that ultimately he got. So I suppose he can't quarrel with that too much. Looking at the other teams this season and how they finished, you gotta wonder, you know, a team like Charlotte, back-to-back, bottom-of-the-barrel type seasons. Same with a team like Florida sitting there at the bottom. A team like the BayHawks, who after being so dominant for so long, looked inept at times this season. You wonder if maybe the expansion is coming at the perfect time for these teams, and maybe you see them blow it up and pull kind of what the Boston Cannons did this season, heading into next season. And if you look at a roster like, you know, the Florida Launch, and you see a team that has some players. They got some talent there between the Thompsons, Kieran McCardle, who might be the best attacker in the league. You know, he's right there with Jordan Wolfe and Rob Pinnell. And you know, you got the Thompsons, you've got McCardle, you've got Casey Powell. I mean, you've got talent on this Florida team, and you wonder if an expansion draft might be just what the doctor ordered for a team like this and might just put them in a better position than if they had just stayed pat and you know, gone into the draft like any other year. Who knows? Maybe the same can be said for Charlotte. Charlotte has had their struggles. Charlotte, you know, a couple years ago went on that run, snuck into the playoffs and ultimately was, you know, a goal away from winning a championship. But they've never really, you know, that was more of a flash in the pan than it was the rule. And we have seen them make more moves than probably any other team in the league. One thing you can say about Wade LaPorte is he is not afraid to make moves. He is not afraid to shake things up. He is not afraid to do what he thinks he needs to do in order for his team to be successful. And the same can be said for Mike Cirino. He's not afraid to sit guys down. He's not afraid to pull the plug on guys. We saw it with Eric Lesby, who took the league by storm a few years ago and then ends up disappearing, can't make it on the field. We saw it again this past season with Justin Ward. So certainly the Charlotte Hounds are a team that isn't afraid to make moves, isn't afraid to sit guys down, and isn't afraid to pull the trigger on trades. We've seen that from that team. You wonder now that expansion is sitting there on the horizons, you know rosters are going to get all juggled up. Maybe this is coming at the perfect time for a team like Charlotte in order to rebuild quicker. Because you look at teams that have had to rebuild, and we've seen it recently with Rochester, and we've seen Ohio since they've had kind of a slow build since coming into the league a couple years ago, and we've got to see the roster building process kind of up close with those two franchises. Charlotte, after having back-to-back, you know, bottom-of-the-barrel seasons, now with expansion and with rosters being juggled like they're going to be this offseason, has a little bit of a leg up on the rebuild, if you know what I mean. They have an opportunity to mix and match a little bit more than they would have been able to in a standard supplemental draft. At least, in my opinion, that's what you have the potential to see this offseason. We're going to take one more commercial break. We'll be right back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Pro Lacrosse Faceoff brought to you by LagsDirt.com.
I'm Steel Stanwyck of the Ohio Machine, and you're listening to MLL Radio.
Are you tired of the same generic recycled pro lacrosse coverage? Check out LagsDirt.com. All the latest headlines, news, and analysis with no punches pulled. The latest coverage of Major League Lacrosse, the National Lacrosse League, and International LACS, one of the most active social media presences on Facebook, Twitter, and LACSDirt keeps you up to date on everything happening in pro lacrosse. LACSDirt.com, your source for all the dirt on pro lax.
I'm Evan Washburn, host of Inside the MLL, your home for everything Major League Lacrosse. Each week for 30 minutes, we're taking you through the league, recapping what's happened while also looking forward. Along with in-depth features, this season, more than any other year, we're bringing you the voices and faces of the game to break down the biggest storylines and also the weekend's biggest games. Inside the MLL airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. on CBS Sports Network.
Hey everybody, it's Tim Thomas from LagsDirt.com, and I want to talk to you real quick about Atlantic Sportswear. They're your team apparel specialists. They feature Under Armour and Nike products, as well as Warrior products, Brine products, Under Armour lacrosse products specific for the lacrosse community. They do it all at Atlantic Sportswear. They can do your jerseys, they can do your shooters, they can do outerwear, jackets, all the way down to your shorts and socks. Whatever you need, Atlantic Sportswear can get it done. Lax Dirt was outfitted by Atlantic Sportswear, and you and your team should be too. Make sure you check out their website at AtlanticSportswear.com and tell them Lax Dirt sent you.
And welcome back to the Pro Lacrosse Faceoff. Tim Thomas from LagsDirt.com. Joining me now is Major League Lacrosse champion Joe Fletcher. Joe, welcome to the show. How does it feel to be introduced as Major League Lacrosse champion?
Thank you for having me. And it's a little different. It's kind of just hit me right there.
Well, one of the things I was thinking when I was watching you guys, and one of the things I was thinking when I found out that you were going to be on the show tonight is I wanted to ask you about kind of the whole process, because you kind of had a little bit of a unique entry into Major League Lacrosse in a sense that a lot of the guys on this New York Wizards team with you, you got to spend a camp with them for Team USA, building towards the World Games a year ago, and kind of got to get comfortable and build that camaraderie and familiarity with them through that process. And how do you think that helped your transition into Major League Lacrosse?
Yeah, you nailed it on the head with the just being comfortable with all the guys. that training camp, it was probably a year-long process, so I was able to have probably 4 or 5 weekends of just seeing all those guys play, kind of just see their tendencies, get used to the flow of the game. For sure, the first couple of tryouts, my head was spinning a lot. Eventually, I was able to get a little bit more comfortable, and then when I started up with the league, it wasn't as frightening as it probably would have been.
Now, you match up in this league, and obviously you came out of college and you got to play against guys like Jordan Wolfe and those type of players in college, and so you had a familiarity with those guys. But you step into Major League Lacrosse, and you know you're lining up against guys like John Grant Jr. and legends, Casey Powell, legends of the sport. And talk to me about that. What is that like for a guy your age, you know, lining up against guys that you grew up probably idolizing in one sense or another?
Yeah, I mean, it's that's probably the first assignment, is just kind of getting over the fact that you're playing against a guy like John Grant Jr. or Casey Powell. I mean, I'm from Syracuse, New York. I watched Casey, Ryan, and Mikey play. I had posters of them in my bedroom back in Syracuse, so I called my parents. It's probably the first time I guarded Casey and just said, I can't believe this is actually happening. But living in the moment and enjoying the experience and just doing your best out there. And once you get on the field, though, all that kind of stuff kind of escapes your mind and you're just playing lacrosse again.
Now, obviously, this was a big season for the New York Lizards. So you guys went all in the beginning of the season, and there was one goal for you guys. And, you know, Coach said it from the beginning of the season. Just about every one of your teammates who I talked to said it from the beginning of the season. You guys went into this with one goal in mind. But you had a target on your back all season long. Evan Washburn talked about it during the broadcast of the championship, where he said you guys had to play under a microscope week in and week out, and everybody was gunning for you. What was that like from your position? How did that feel? How did you guys as a team deal with that pressure week to week?
Having that kind of target on your back requires a lot more focus than usual. At Loyola, after our championship season, we came into the 2013 season with a target on our back as well, and our coaches kept on preaching, it's always easy to play hard from the bottom, but when you're on top, can you execute at that level as well? And this is that same kind of scenario where we had the target on our back, and you're getting everyone's best every single game. You were required to have that mentality, and sometimes teams jumped on us, but we were able for the most part to kind of regroup as a team and overcome that and kind of just achieve our goal.
Now, obviously, the championship's the ultimate goal, like I said. But along the way, you guys won yourself some individual accolades as well. Your teammate Greg Aurelian named the MVP, Drew Adams Goalie of the Year, and yourself Defensive Player of the Year. And a lot of talk was made about the strides that you had made, the forced turnovers, and what is that like? And how much does an award like that mean to you?
It is an honor, but not the type of thing that we all worried about. When each of us won the award, our team congratulated us, but there was no extra praise or anything. Those awards just honor the team, in my opinion. You get the best goalie, you get the best face-off guy, you get the best offensive guy. It comes from the rest of the team. That one person can't be successful without the rest of the guys doing their job as well. So it's more of a badge, I think, for the team and just that success that we had during the year.
And the championship, again, the crowning achievement, but if you had to pick one other moment this season that stands out to you and one thing that you're going to remember from this season other than hoisting that trophy at the end, what would it be?
That's a good question. For some reason, the first thing that came to my mind was Kevin Understein's goal right before halftime against Chesapeake. I think it was July 4th weekend. I think we're at a rough patch of that part of the year. I think we actually came off a loss and we're down that game. And he's probably scored one of the coolest goals I've ever seen with a long pull diving in the crease right before the end of halftime. And it was that kind of spark and energy and passion that we saw through Kevin that kind of reignited us for the rest of that game. And after that game, I think we started playing a lot better as a team, a lot more motivated, a lot more passionate as well.
Awesome. Well, Joe, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join us tonight. Congratulations on the Defensive Player of the Year. Congratulations on the championship. And I'm excited to see what next year brings for yourself and the Lizards.
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. That was Joe Fletcher of your Major League Lacrosse champions, the New York Lizards. Huge strides. They, like I said earlier when I was talking about them, they said that he was the most MLL-ready defensive player we had seen in years, and he has certainly lived up to that billing. We're going to take our final commercial break. On the other side, we're going to get an opportunity to talk to Rob Pennell if everything goes as planned, so don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss it. The Pro Lacrosse Face-Off brought to you by LaxDirt.com.
I'm Steele Stanwyck of the Ohio Machine, and you're listening to MLL Radio.
Are you tired of the same generic recycled pro lacrosse coverage? Check out LaxDirt.com. All the latest headlines, news, and analysis with no punches pulled. The latest coverage of Major League Lacrosse, the National Lacrosse League, and International Lax, one of the most active social media presences on Facebook, Twitter, and LaxDirt keeps you up to date on everything happening in pro lacrosse. LaxDirt.com, your source for all the dirt on Pro Lax.
I'm Evan Washburn, host of Inside the MLL, your home for everything Major League Lacrosse. Each week for 30 minutes, we're taking you through the league, recapping what's happened while also looking forward. Along with in-depth features, this season, more than any other year, we're bringing you the voices and faces of the game to break down the biggest storylines and also the weekend's biggest games. Inside the MLL airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. on CBS Sports Network.
Hey, everybody. It's Tim Thomas from LaxDirt.com, and I want to talk to you real quick about Atlantic Sportswear. They're your team apparel specialists. They feature Under Armour and Nike products, as well as Warrior products, Brine products, Under Armour lacrosse products specific for the lacrosse community. They do it all at Atlantic Sportswear. They can do your jerseys, they can do your shooters, they can do outerwear, jackets, all the way down to your shorts and socks. Whatever you need, Atlantic Sportswear can get it done. Lax Dirt was outfitted by Atlantic Sportswear, and you and your team should be too. Make sure you check out their website at AtlanticSportswear.com and tell them Lax Dirt sent you. Welcome back to the Pro Lacrosse Face-Off. Tim Thomas from LaxDirt.com. As the show winds down here, I want to say again thanks to Joe Fletcher for calling in. It was nice to get his take and kind of, you know, from a younger player in this league. And you know, you wouldn't tell by the way he plays on the field. But he's only a couple years into his Major League Lacrosse career and already looking like one of the most dominant defensive players that we've seen in quite some time. So I appreciate him coming on and giving us that take and kind of the overall feel of that team and this New York Lizards 2015 championship team and the way he talked about all the accolades and how it was secondary for this team. And you know, they acknowledged it when they won them and then right back to work. You know, they didn't dwell on it. They didn't, it wasn't something that was on their radar. And you know, in my mind, that's what you're looking for from championship teams. That's what you're looking for from teams that are legitimately going to go out there and potentially win it all. You're looking for guys that are going to keep their eye on the prize, are going to stay focused. You know, the lunch pail guys that Coach Spallina always talks about. They go out there, they do their job, and, you know, they stay focused. And that's ultimately what brings you championships. And you look at a team like the Lizards and the way they played this year. I mean, they had the most dominant performance at the Faceoff X that I can remember, and that we've seen in a long, long time from Greg Gorelian. They had dynamic shooters from all over the field. You know, guys like Ned Crotty became, you know, secondary options on this team. You had, you know, Rob Pinnell, Tommy Palasek, Paul Rabel, Matt Gibson, JoJo Marasco, Ned Crotty, Mike Stone. You know, Matt Poske came out of retirement and scored, you know, 13 goals for this team or something ridiculous. I think it was only 9 or 10, but you get the point. Like, this team would just, everybody showed up, everybody went to work, everybody did their job, and ultimately they finished the deal. They closed it out, and we've talked about teams in the past that, you know, dominated and looked like world beaters in the regular season and haven't been able to close it out, a la the Denver Outlaws a couple years ago. And, you know, this is a team that stayed the course. And, you know, there was all that talk about being undefeated and what have you for the first half of the season. I don't think that was ever on their radar either. They wanted a home playoff game. And they wanted to control their own destiny. And ultimately, that's what they did. That's what they got. And it led to a championship. It led to them being able to say that they were the best team in Major League Lacrosse, hands down, in 2015, from the start of the season to the end of the season. They were in first place the full length of the race. They ran the gambit, and they never gave up first place. And that's saying something. And when you look back at a team and you look back, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, when we're talking about, you know, the teams of the past and ranking them and what was the best team of all time and what have you, you know, this is a team that out of the gate got to a hot start, took first place, and never surrendered it for the length of the season right up until they hoisted the Steinfeld Cup at the end. And that's a huge accomplishment. That's a huge feather in their cap for all of these guys. Like I said, you got first-time champions with a number of guys. You get a guy like Paul Rabel winning his second, and you know, in a lot of ways, this puts kind of an exclamation point on his career to this point, and is a big, you know, to do in professional sports. You know, they say anybody can win one. You know, the greats win multiple championships. So I think him being able to add a second one, and my boy Mike Stone adding a second one, just for the record, you know, it's huge. It's big. I mean, you look at big Brian Spallina. You know, he's going to run out of fingers by the time he finally retires. Every team he goes to seems to win a championship. Phenomenal year for the New York Lizards. Phenomenal year for Major League Lacrosse. It was an honor to cover this season. It was exciting. It was entertaining. And nothing but good things to come with this expansion. More opportunities for more players, more opportunities for more fans to get the chance to see all of these players. So I'm excited for it. That's going to do it for us this evening. I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. I apologize for the no-shows for a couple of our guests. Hopefully We will be able to correct that in the future. A special thank you to Joe Fletcher for excuse me, for coming on. And tune in, stay tuned to Lax at LaxDirt on Twitter and at MLL Radio for updates on programming throughout the off season. We're going to keep bringing you a lot of good stuff. Don't go anywhere. Thanks, everybody, for checking it out. We'll be back in a bit.